We've been looking at this over the last few weeks, and we're going to pick it up at verse 23. So Mark's Gospel, chapter 1 and verse 23. Let's listen to God's Word. And immediately there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be silent and come out of him." And the unclean spirit, convulsing him and crying out with a loud voice, came out of him. And they were all amazed that they questioned among themselves, saying, "What is this? A new teaching with authority? He commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him." And at once his fame spread everywhere throughout all the surrounding region of Galilee. And immediately he left the synagogue and entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. Now Simon's mother-in-law lay ill with a fever, and immediately they told him about her. And he came and they took her by the hand and lifted her up, and the fever left her, and she began to serve him. That evening at sunset they brought to him all who were sick or oppressed by demons, and the whole city was gathered together at the door. And he healed many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons. And he would not permit the demons to speak, because they knew him. And rising very early in the morning, while it was still dark, he departed and went out to a desolate place, and there he prayed. And Simon and those who were with him searched for him. And they found him and said to him, "Everyone is looking for you." And he said to them, "Let us go on to the next town, that I may preach there also, for that is what I came for." And he went throughout all Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and casting out demons. And a leper came to him, imploring him, and kneeling said to him, "If you will, you can make me clean." Moved with pity, he stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, "I will, be clean." And immediately the leprosy left him, and he was made clean. And Jesus sternly charged him and sent him away at once, and said to him, "See that you say nothing to anyone, but go, show yourself to the priests and offer for your cleansing what Moses commanded, for proof to them." But he went out and began to talk freely about it and to spread the news, so that Jesus could no longer openly enter a town, but was out in desolate places, and people were coming to him from every quarter. Amen. I mentioned this morning's service about the passing of Ian Paisley, such a significant personality in the history of our country. And because such a significant life, I bought yesterday's Belfast Telegraph just to read a little bit more about it. Yesterday's edition of the Belfast Telegraph had 31 pages dedicated to the life of Ian Paisley. And what they wanted to do in the paper yesterday was really report about his death and his passing. But they also tried to answer this question, who is Ian Paisley? And so what they did is they took a number of people, six people who knew Ian Paisley, and they wanted to find out exactly who he was. Great introductions, and everybody's attention has gone. But they really wanted to find out who was this man, because Ian Paisley was seen in the media, in the public at large, as a bit of an enigma. Was he a walking contradiction? Was he somebody who had a fierce political appearance in public, but was known for being very warm and approachable and likable in private life? And so they asked six people who knew him, who is Ian Paisley? Came up with things like this. One person looked at the religious side. He was a mighty preacher. Somebody else who knew him said he was a man of great conviction in his religious life and his political life as well. Somebody else said a man of great compassion, tenderness, and grace. Put him in a room with individuals, that's who Ian Paisley was. Somebody else said these words: difficult, unrepentant, uncompromising, dangerous, and at times downright nasty. Somebody else said an inspirational colossus in politics. And somebody else, the last person, the sixth person in the Belfast Telegraph yesterday, said a warm, courteous, indispensable figure. Different opinions, looking at different aspects about who Ian Paisley was. My job this evening is not to try and answer that question, to find out exactly who he was. Because there's a more important question that I want to focus on this evening, and that is, who was Jesus Christ? Who is Jesus Christ. And that's the whole purpose Mark has behind writing this gospel. He wants us to know exactly who Jesus Christ was. Mark was somebody who knew Jesus. He lived at the same time. He had spent time in Christ's presence. So he's not writing as a detached person, but somebody who knew something about it. He was also a great acquaintance, Mark, with Peter, the apostle Peter. He spent lots of time with Peter. And so as you read this gospel, there are actually lots of stories that are referred to Peter, recorded here, which is an indication of the influence that Peter had on Mark, that he passed on these stories, and they're recorded here in Scripture. But more importantly, we've got to believe that this is Scripture. And the Bible tells us that all Scripture is God-breathed, it's inspired. So this is the record that the Holy Spirit wants us to read, so we know exactly who Jesus Christ is. He wants us to know who Jesus is right from the start. And so verse 1 of chapter 1 says, it's the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ. He's the Son of God. That's who Jesus is. He's the Son of God. He's unique. And the gospel finishes with the same kind of phrase. So when Jesus died on the cross, the centurion at the cross looking at it said, truly, this man is the Son of God. I find it hard to say those words without thinking of John Wayne in that famous film, saying those words in an American accent. That's Mark wants us to get this. This is important. Who is Jesus Christ? You know who Jesus is? Jesus Christ is the Son of God. This passage that we've read this evening starts with the public ministry of Jesus. And a lot happens in these 20-plus verses that I've read to you this evening. And in these verses, it's really packed, and he heals quite a few people. He heals somebody with an unclean spirit. He heals Simon's mother-in-law, and then he heals lots and lots of other people. We see that in verse 34. And he healed many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons. And so in just over 20 verses, lots and lots of things are packed in. Why does Mark include all these things? Why does he include them here in the gospel? Because he wants us to grasp something. He wants us to grasp exactly who Jesus Christ really is. Yesterday, I was doing a little bit of DIY around my house. I'm very limited in what I can do, so I keep it really, really simple. But I had a TV cable from my aerial coming into the back of the TV that was lying loose in the room that the TV was. So I got some of these clips and a hammer and nails, and I was tracking the cable along the side of the skirting board. And so I took the hammer, the little nail that was in the clip, and hit it once. And he hit it once, it actually just puts enough force on it to get that little clip to stick into the skirting board. But I just didn't leave it with one bang of a hammer. I wanted to drive the nail in, and so it was fully in, so that the clip would be secure, that it wouldn't move or it wouldn't budge. In a kind of way, that's what Mark's doing in the gospel. He's told us who Jesus is, but he wants to hammer home the point. And so he includes lots of things that drive home this point into our heads and hopefully our hearts as well. This is who Jesus Christ is. Look at the incredible things that he did. Jesus Christ is the Son of God, an ordinary man could not heal all these people that Jesus healed. An ordinary man could not cast out the demons in the way that Jesus did. And Jesus displays lots of authority. Lots of authority that make him stand out from the crowd. He had authority over evil spirits. 1 John 3 is a verse I've quoted on, I think, every week that I've preached through Mark's gospel so far. But it says these words, "The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil." That's the reason the Son of God came into the world, was to destroy the works of the devil. Because right at the start, as we mentioned this morning, God created a perfect world. It's perfect in every way. And Satan came in and sin came into the world, and we're still living with the consequences of that sin today. And Jesus encountered an evil spirit here in this story. We're not told how this man had an evil spirit inside him. The Bible doesn't tell us, but what we can guarantee is his life was a mess. But one thing we do know, that the evil spirit that was inside this man knew exactly who Jesus Christ was. He knew the answer to this question, who is Jesus? Look at verse 24. This is what the evil spirit cries out. "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are." The evil spirit says, "I know who you are. You're the Holy One of God." Even this evil spirit knew that Jesus Christ was unique. And Jesus proves his real authority by displaying it over the Holy Spirit. Look at verses 25 and 26. "But Jesus rebuked him, saying, 'Be silent and come out of him.' And the unclean spirit, convulsing him and crying out with a loud voice, came out of him. And this was no magic formula. This was just the Son of God speaking with authority. He said, be silent. The word actually means be muzzled. It's the same word Jesus used when he calmed the storm, when he's with his disciples in the raging storm. Be silent. And it was calm. Now, it's not a surprise with Christ, because this is the same Jesus who created our world. And how did he create our world? He spoke. And through the power of his words, this world came into existence. And with those same powerful words, he brings out this evil spirit. People were amazed, verse 27. And they were all amazed that they questioned among themselves, saying, who is this? A new teaching with authority. He commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him. They realized that Jesus was somebody unique. They're not exactly sure who he is. He says, what is this? And they haven't fully grasped it, but they do know something. This man is somebody who stands out from the crowd. But not only did Jesus have the authority to cast out an evil spirit, he also had the authority to heal people as well. Because illness is not part of God's original plan. Illness is a result of the fall as well. Joanne, over the past week, has been suffering with a really bad toothache. She hasn't been out at church this morning. That's where she is. She's in bed, dosed up on painkillers. Do you know what the reason behind that? That's the result of living with a body that's been affected by the fall. We all have these bodies, and it affects us in different ways. It's not part of God's original plan, but it's a consequence of sin and the fall that happened in Genesis 3. And when he was here on earth, Christ displayed great power even to heal illness and sickness. It's another sign, another pointer to exactly who he was. And it was also a sign of a pointer about the healing that he would ultimately bring. Healing that he would ultimately bring in the future as well. Because in heaven there will be no more illness. There'll be no more sore teeth. There'll be no lepers like we read about in this passage. There'll be no fevers. There'll be no cancer. There'll be no death. There'll be no sadness. There'll be no tears. Jesus cast out a demon with the word. But here as he approaches Simon Peter's mother-in-law, he heals her with a touch. Look at verse 31. And he came and he took her by the hand and lifted her up, and the fever left her, and she began to serve him. And so with his touch, the Son of God is able to heal this sick woman. And her cure is immediate. We know that because she was able to get up and serve him. You know, if you've had a fever, you feel rough for a number of days. And even if you start to feel better, it takes a few days before you even feel you get your strength back to get up and do things. But immediately this woman is up, showing that she is completely healed. And in the same manner, as he cast out this evil spirit and he healed Simon Peter's mother-in-law, he healed many, many other people that are recorded here in Mark chapter 1. And why again does Mark record this? Because he's hammering home the point. This is who Jesus Christ is. Jesus is somebody different. This really is the Son of God. He has the power to overcome the effects of sin and Satan and the devil as well. And he started to attract huge crowds. You can imagine the crowds would follow somebody who's able to cast out evil spirits and to heal sick people as well. He has to depart to get away on his own, just to be in a desolate place to pray. And the crowds come looking for him. Look at verse 37. And they found him and said to him, everyone is looking for you. He's so popular because of the physical healing that he can bring. This is better than anything the NHS can offer. And so you can see why there's this huge queuing up beside him looking to be healed. But for Jesus, there was a greater priority. Healing wasn't his priority. Casting out evil spirits wasn't his main priority. There was something greater. That's why he wanted to get away from the crowds who just wanted this physical healing. For him, there was something even greater. Healing proved a point. Healing was a sign. It showed people exactly who Jesus was. But the healing that he would give here on earth would only last for a short time. Because these people he healed, this leper, this person with the fever, they would get sick again. At another stage in their life, they would get ill. And on another occasion, they would die. But Christ was more interested not in this physical healing here on earth. He was more interested in preaching. He was more interested in God's good news for the people. He reasonably wanted to preach so that the people would be ready, not for this world, but for the world to come, when they would enter into a perfect world, a world that's untouched by sin and by sickness and illness. And so we're told that he wanted to get away because he wanted to preach. Verse 38, let us go on to the next towns that I may preach there also, for that is what I came for. I came to preach to these people. And what did he preach? Well, it doesn't tell us in this passage we've read today, but I'm sure it's the same message that he preached back in verse 15. This first message that's recorded here in Scripture, where he said, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel. That was the message he wanted to share with these people. The kingdom of God, this perfect kingdom is at hand. It's in touching distance. So repent, turn from your sin, and believe the gospel instead. And as we finish this evening, we started by looking at that question, who is Ian Paisley? Much will be written over the next days and weeks and months and years about his unique life. An opinion will be divided. And because he was the kind of person who divided opinion. It seems there were two sides. You either loved him or you hated him. There doesn't really seem to be a middle ground that goes in between. But the same is true for Jesus Christ as well. Who is Jesus Christ? He's the Son of God. And we can either accept that truth or we can reject that truth. Jesus said, you're either for me or you're against me. There's no in-between. There is no middle ground. You cannot sit on the fence when it comes to this question. You're either for me or you're against me. You either believe I'm the Son of God or you reject that truth and that claim upon our lives. So this evening, as we think about this question, who is Jesus? What side do you sit on? This is not a matter of opinion. This is a matter of great importance. C.S. Lewis famously said these words, you must make your choice. Either this man was and is the Son of God, or else a madman, or something worse. You can shut him up for a fool, you can spit at him and kill him as a demon, or you can fall at his feet and call him Lord and God. And that's what we need to do with this great question. Who is Jesus? You can shut him up for a fool, spit at him, kill him as a demon, or you can fall at his feet and call him Lord and God. You can repent and believe the gospel. You either receive him, the Son of God, and Savior in life, or you reject him. This evening, you need to examine your heart. Maybe this evening you need to fall at his feet, acknowledging that he's the Son of God who loved you and came to rescue you from your sin, and acknowledge him as your Lord and your Savior, as well as the Son of God in your life as well. Many of you here this evening have done that. You've trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior. You've grasped this great truth of who Jesus Christ is. Not just in your head, but in your heart. Like David shared, he knew it at a younger age in his head. But there came a point in David's life, the age of 16, where he grasped it in his heart and his life was changed. And our role as the church is to communicate this great truth of who Jesus Christ is. Jesus Christ is not a swear word. He's not an object of fun to be poked at. He's the Son of God, his authority over evil, and has the power to change and transform lives. And we live in a world that's in turmoil. It's a world that's in turmoil because of sin, and we have the answer. We have the answer to the turmoil in this world. And we have the answer, if you're a believer tonight, it's in your head and it's in your heart. And the answer is Jesus Christ, who really is the Son of God. But here's the challenge as we finish tonight. Carl Henry, a theologian, once said these words, the good news is only good if it gets there on time. The good news is that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and he came to save us and to rescue us and to lift us from our sin. That's good news. But it's only good news if it gets there on time. And so we have a responsibility to bring this good news, to bring Christ and the truth that Jesus Christ is the Son of God to people. Those people that we work with, those people that we live in our homes, those people who we come in contact with. And these people across the world who have never heard. There are over 2 billion people in the world tonight who have never heard of Jesus Christ and do not know the truth that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That is staggering. 2 billion people. Almost a third of the world's population have never heard of Jesus Christ. And the good news is only good if it gets there in time and it gets to people so they hear this truth and they can respond in faith as well. And so if you're a believer here tonight, let's pray that we have a heart to share the Son of God, Jesus Christ, with people that we come in contact with, and even that we can support mission who brings this message to people all across the world. And often we say these things and we're challenged by it. Yes, I know I need to communicate this truth that Jesus really is the Son of God with other people. But that makes us nervous. It's easier to think about it than actually to do it. And what can I say? Well, pray about it and ask for boldness and ask for strength. But here's a really simple thing you could do. Maybe there's somebody you're challenged about who doesn't know this truth that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Or maybe they're ignoring this truth. Maybe it is a member of your family. Maybe it's somebody who you work with, you go to school with. Well, why not get a copy of Mark's gospel? This gospel that we're working through. And it teaches you these wonderful truths about exactly who Jesus is. Why don't you give it to somebody and say, this book contains an incredible message. This is a message that has changed my life, and I'd like you to read it as well. And offer somebody a chance to read God's word and to explore and examine the truths that are brought out here in the gospel. You don't need to do that, but maybe it's a simple thing you could do to get alongside somebody. Or maybe say, could we meet up once a week and we'll read through the gospel together? You can ask me questions. You can challenge me on my beliefs and what I believe. But remembering that the good news is only good if it gets there on time. May God give us a heart to believe that Jesus really is the Son of God. And when that has a grip upon our hearts and our lives, when we have a desire to share Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the one who can transform lives with other people as well.